You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. You might not know his name, but it's a pretty good bet you've seen his products in your grocery store or you're a fan of his salsa and chips. Dave Zilko is the former vice chairman of Garden Fresh Gourmet. He and business partners Jack and Annette Aronson took a scrappy little Oakland County company deep in debt and turned it into the number one brand of fresh salsa in North America, with revenues topping $100 million. A year ago, Garden Fresh was sold to Campbell Soup Company for some $231 million. It's a success story offering wisdom and lessons to other Michigan business owners and entrepreneurs. Dave tells the story of Garden Fresh in his new book, Irrational Persistence, 7 Secrets That Turned a Bankrupt Startup into a $231 Million Business. Good to have you with us, Dave Zilko.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. I really am.
There were such big headlines when you and the Aronsons sold Garden Fresh last year to Campbell, and I'm sure people were looking going, oh, yeah, must be nice, having no idea that this didn't just happen, that you all started not just from nothing, but as you say in your book, less than nothing. How deep in the hole were you?
Well, I founded my first specialty food company on my girlfriend's $2,500 credit card loan, and I did it because I got turned down for it. I was so broke at the time. I labored for 11 years, what I refer to as my lost decade. I was easily $350,000 in debt that I'll admit to. You know, I tell people I'm glad my wife doesn't read what I gave her to sign.
Because, yes, the girlfriend became the wife.
The girlfriend, yeah. Yes. People ask all the time. I did marry her.
Yes.
And we're still married to this day. In fact, she calls it the best investment she ever made.
Well,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
You were hand bottling and you packing pallets and hauling them out to the trucks yourself. So
yeah,
this was
in a little kitchen with no heat. Mm-hmm. I bought a mustard company. Then for the next 5 years, I'm breaking eggs every day at 5:30 in the morning. So one day I find myself in New York at a food show, and I introduce myself to Jack Aronson. Now, Jack Aronson, a few years before then, was in the back of a bankrupt restaurant in Ferndale, Michigan, 8 1/2 in Woodward. He was $450,000 in debt that he'll admit to. He was taking the bus to work from Waterford because he got his car repossessed. He had to declare bankruptcy to hold on to his lease. And literally, to help pay his electric bill, out of desperation, he pulls out a 5-gallon bucket. And in 15 minutes, his first shot makes what is today Garden Fresh's artichoke garlic salsa. So he's struggling for a few more years. When I met him in New York, he got back and he had just built a new plant. He overbuilt. He invited me to become his partner. The plant was like $1.6 million to build. So we were literally in a multi-million dollar hole when we started.
Uh-uh.
Our goal was to get the company to $10 million one day. We knew it would be a lot of work and everything, but we thought, all right, this would be a nice life for ourselves if we can do this. We eventually got to $110 million, and then Campbell's reached out to us, and we sold for almost $250 million.
When you stop and think about what you were describing, it's so easy to think of this, you know, little company making its fresh salsa and facing debt and trying to grow, and then ending with, well, it was a good, worthy effort, but it's over. Now what do we do? It's very easy to see that. Instead, as you say, sold for some over $250 million to Campbell. So why did your story have this super successful ending?
It's my biggest surprises were how long this took and how hard it was, which is why I named the book Irrational Persistence, because mm-hmm. what we did made no sense. I mean, salsa from Detroit, I remember being in Los Angeles meeting with a buyer from Costco who eventually became our largest customer. I swear to God, the guy's name was Paul Newman. So I'm in LA meeting with Paul Newman, and he's looking at our salsa and he goes, this is the best packaging I've ever seen. And he tried. He goes, this is the best salsa I've ever had in my life. And he looked at the label and he goes, you're from Detroit? He goes, what'd you do? Get lost coming out of Texas? He goes, I get 100 fresh salsa companies coming in here through a year. You know, they're all from either Southern California, Texas. You're supposed to be moving cars in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Nobody makes salsa from Detroit. So what we were doing from the get-go was irrational to begin with. And it was a long, hard road, longer and harder than we thought. But we really believed in our product, and we decided to adopt a standard that as long as we were the best product on the market, the best product we could possibly make, there was going to be a place for us in this world. And even though we were a salsa company from Detroit, as irrational as that is, we just stuck to this guiding light, this North Star, that as long as we were the best, there was going to be a place for us in this world. And in the end, it all worked out.
In your book, you break down the ingredients of your success story, and you start with your challenge to entrepreneurs and business owners. And here's what you say, summon the courage to enter the dark room. What's that mean?
First of all, what drives people to be entrepreneurs? You know, for me, there was a gap between the level at which I was living my life and the level at which I wanted to live my life. And that void was driving me crazy. It was just unacceptable to me. What drives an entrepreneur? For me, it was to alleviate that void. So if you come up with an idea for a product, a service, or business, It's one thing to have an idea. It's another thing to move forward with it. So I liken it to standing in front of a room and the door opens and it's completely void of light, just complete and utter darkness. And who wants to go into a dark room? Dark rooms are frightening. You've got to really be comfortable with ambiguity. Most people, the rational person, is going to walk away and just stay in the comfort of their relative job and maybe stay in the rut they're in. The irrational person, which in my experience is what most entrepreneurs are, will enter in that room. The door's going to close behind you, and you're in utter darkness. And it's a really hard thing to do. Now, when you're in there, you've got to look for sources of light. And you're going to maybe find a little nightlight. Maybe you'll find a window shade or something. Eventually, the room is going to be illuminated. You're going to figure it out. You're going to be able to navigate your way around so that you can at least make a living. But if you want to grow your business, there's going to be another door leading into an even darker, bigger room. And you keep going and going and going. And it really becomes a way of life. My partner, Jake Anderson, who founded Garden Fresh, we walked into many dark rooms. We're still walking into dark rooms today. And the fear is still there. But it really does take courage to take that first step.
You also offer what I thought was very startling advice. Never sell anything. Say what?
Yeah. I was responsible for sales and strategy for Garden Fresh, and Jack was responsible for operations and strategy. And I tell people all the time, I never sold a thing. I would just simply have conversations with people. My goal is to form a strategic partnership with somebody. If I couldn't meet their needs to a better extent than any of my competitors, I would literally walk out. I never felt pressure to make a sale. I never cared. We literally developed this approach to not only selling but building our company. One of my chapters in my book is called Build a Company That Woody Allen Would Be Proud Of. And Woody Allen has this famous saying, 80% of success in life is showing up. And to me, we took a specific approach to layer in so many strategic advantages to our program that our competitors couldn't match, that our sales force, that all they had to do was simply show up to be successful. I tell people all the time, building a great company is not just developing great products. You've got to develop a great company, too. You've got to take a strategic approach to building your company so that all your sales force has to do is show up to be successful so they never have to sell anything.
I'm talking with Dave Zilko, the former vice chairman of Garden Fresh, and his book is Irrational Persistence, 7 Secrets That Turned a Bankrupt Startup into a $231 million business. Start thinking of companies that start out, success comes their way. They grow, they expand, and then too big, it becomes a downward spiral and they collapse. How did Garden Fresh avoid that pitfall?
We avoided it primarily by an absolute commitment to quality. When Jack Aronson founded this in the back of his clubhouse barbecue, bankrupt clubhouse barbecue, by pulling out a 5-gallon bucket to pay his electric bill, he peeled onions by hand. We kept doing that, even into our big 25,000-square-foot factory. So then I came up with the idea that I'm running all over the country. I'm saying we've got the best flavor profile in the United States. I think we can become the number one brand of fresh sauce in this country. And I ran our board meetings, and our board was saying, you're crazy. This is never going to happen. We were about a $30 million company. I said, I think we'd be a $70 million company. And Jack said, well, let's go for it. If Dave thinks we do it, let's go for it. But if we're going to scale national, we can't be making salsa in 5-gallon buckets. So we brought in these process engineers, and they said the same thing. If you're going to go big time, you got to buy these big tanks. You got to be like Big Food. So we bought these 2 400-600-gallon tanks. And for months, we tried to get our salsa to taste the way it did when we're making in these 5-gallon buckets. And we just couldn't do it. The onions were floating to the bottom. The consistency was different. So Jack said, and I know it sounds like cliche, he goes, look, I don't care if we're the biggest. I just want to be the best. So we got rid of the tanks and we reverted back to our 5-gallon buckets. To this day, we produce 85 tons of fresh salsa a day. 31% of all the fresh salsa in the United States is made right here in Metro Detroit. And we still make it in 5-gallon buckets. And Jack said something to me really poignant a couple years ago. He said, the proudest thing I am of Garden Fresh is that the salsa we're making today is the exact recipe I made in the back of that bankrupt restaurant in 15 minutes on my first shot. We haven't changed a thing. We peel onions by hand. We wash our cilantro 3 times. We still make it in 5-gallon buckets. Now, on the back end, we've got these automated filling machines. They're world class. But on the front end, we still make it in micro batches, literally by hand, just like he did in the back of that restaurant.
There were other corporate suitors. Why was Campbell's the right one?
In 2008, a division of Nestle, which happens to be the largest food company in the world, made an offer to purchase us. The next year, Pepsi, which is the largest food company in this country, made an offer to purchase us. And in both instances, the executives, and I kind of handled the deals for us, the executives came to me and said, if you sell to us, you're going to be so proud of what we do with your company. We see you guys making the stuff in 5-gallon buckets because we know you don't have a big capital, you know, expenditure budget. We're going to turn you into Big Food, and we are going to start making in big tanks, and you're going to be so proud of what we turn this company into. And I was offended by that because by this time, the 5-gallon bucket was a source of pride for me. It was a badge of honor.
And they were dissing it.
they were dissing it. And we had already tried the big tank route. And I knew there was no way they could replicate our flavor profile, which I knew was the best in the world with big tanks. So I was actually speaking at an investment banking conference in New York. And the guy who came after me was the VP of M&A for Campbell's. He reached out to me a few months later and said, you know, tactfully, are you guys for sale? And I said, we're really not. He goes, well, will you go out and meet some people running one of our divisions in Southern California in Santa Monica? So I said, sure. And to show you how motivated to sell I was, I waited 5 months before I saw him. I went there. I do this all the time. I thought it was going to be a five-minute meet and greet. I connected with these guys instantly. And I said, look, do you have time for a presentation? So I pulled up my laptop, set it up, and I put on a full-blown Garden Fresh presentation. How we make it, we peel onions by hand. We make it in five-gallon buckets. And at the very end of the presentation, their president and CEO of Bolthouse Farms, his name is Jeff Dunn, the first thing he says to me, he goes, I love those five-gallon buckets. He goes, you guys are the future of food. He goes, you got to make things in small processes, micro-batch it, by hand, and then you figure out how to scale nationally, internationally. By this time, we were shipping to Europe and Asia, and he goes, you guys are the future of food. You guys have figured this out. And I walked out of that meeting on the streets of Santa Monica, and I said, these are the people we're selling Garden Fresh to. I didn't even tell Jack and his wife Annette that I was meeting with them. These things happen so much all the time. They didn't even know about it. And I said, these are the people we're selling Garden Fresh to. So that's how I knew they were the right people. When he told me, I respect the way you're making it. We're not changing a thing. You've got to put the best product possible out and then worry about everything else from there.
And keeping jobs and operations in Michigan was very important to you.
It was very important.
Talk about
that. Our previous suitors were going to move us to the East Coast. Jack grew up in Ferndale and he used to deliver newspapers in our neighborhood. So the place means the world to him, the absolute world to him. Somebody was going to move us to the East Coast. And when Jack was trying to get Garden Fresh off the ground, he had to go before the Ferndale City Council to get his zoning change for his first plant that he wanted to open. And he was going to move it into a video store. He had to change the zoning from commercial to industrial. And the vote was 5-4 against. So Jack gets up. He's thinking quick on his feet. And he goes to the microphone. And he says, I tell you what, I will put a sign in the window saying public welcome. And I'll set up a card table inside my salsa plant. And I will sell pints of salsa for $2.50 to anybody that walks in. And one of the city council members says, you know what? I got a good feeling about you. I'm going to take a chance on you. Flip this vote. So I went from 5-4 against to 5-4 in favor. Fast forward today, Garden Fresh has 453 employees. We're by far the largest employer in Ferndale. I don't know who the city council member is, but I think they should erect a statue in front of him in front of City Hall, because one guy took a chance on this one bankrupt restaurateur, and look what happened. So Ferndale's very near and dear to our hearts. It was very important to us that the company would never move from Detroit.
Dave, you've achieved that big business success with Garden Fresh Gourmet, and now you're helping other businesses through being an operating partner with Huron Capital. You're the CEO of Fuel Leadership. You're on the board of the Grow Michigan Venture Fund, among many other activities. Is this a promising time, do you think, for Michigan startups and for entrepreneurs?
I personally believe it does. I think one of the great things that Governor Snyder has done, which he doesn't get enough credit for, is I think he has created a terrific business environment in this state in general by limiting the single business tax and things like that. I think we're much more competitive than we were 5, 6, 7 years ago. That's for business in general. For food in particular, I think this is an incredible time to be a food entrepreneur simply because market forces are moving in our direction. Local, genuine, authentic, that is what the public is clamoring for. You see it in so many ways. You go to a restaurant, they have farm to table. You look at the craft beer industry. We had some association through we did a licensing deal with Margaritaville. We had some association with Anheuser-Busch. Budweiser beer, for the past 23 consecutive years, they have lost market share. You think of all the resources, all the money, all the talent they have at their disposal, they cannot reverse their market share losses because people are going to the craft beer movement. People want things made in their neighborhood by artisans, small batches, by hand. So a food entrepreneur can start with nothing or even less than nothing like we did. Mm-hmm. And the public is looking for artisanal, handcrafted, genuine, authentic products. So market forces are truly moving in the direction of food entrepreneurs to an extent that I don't think it has in the past 100 years in this country. I really don't. So you couple the business environment in Michigan with what's going on in the food industry, it's a great time to be a food entrepreneur.
What's the biggest thing you would change now, whether it's a policy level or whatever it would be, to make Michigan's business ecosystem even stronger and healthier?
You know, I would hope that I think legally, in terms of regulatory practices, we're there. I would really hope that the angel investment community could rise to whatever level they could. And it's already fairly active, but there's so many people out there with great ideas. And I think mentoring is critical. One of the reasons why I wrote this book was, you know, I kind of had a lost decade before I met Jack. Jack had a couple lost decades before he met me. It took us a decade on top of that to build Garden Fresh. I share these seven secrets that we learned along the way. If I would have known these when I started, I could have saved a big part of that lost decade. So I think mentoring, angel investing, but I think the environment is there. And especially for food entrepreneurs, it's never been a better time.
Dave Zilko is the former vice chairman of Garden Fresh, and his book is Irrational Persistence, Seven Secrets That Turned a Bankrupt Startup into a $231 million Business. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your advice for all the hardworking entrepreneurs in Michigan.
Thank you. It was a thrill for me to be here. It really is.